got you shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match.
Hello and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, where you can listen to us live every Thursday from 11:30 to 12:30 here at Atlanta Business Radio S Networks in Sandy Springs. My name is Lee Heisman with my co-host Chris Hanks, who is the executive director of the Kennesaw State University Entrepreneurship Center. Chris, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing excellently. Very, very excited and very excited about everything that we got going on.
That's wonderful. Well, listeners, thank you for jumping in this afternoon with us. We have two exciting guests. We have our very first return guest in the past 2 years, and I'll bring him on later with his business partner in a new venture that they've established back 2011 or so, and we'll find out more details. But Chris, there's so much going on at the KSU Entrepreneurship Center. You know, you had a trip recently, you had a State of the Union this morning, and we have tremendous information about KSU 100. Today, we also have our student of the week, Joey Roos. Joey, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
No pressure, Joey. You know what's coming at us today, and you know that tonight is a big night for you at the KSU 100.
It certainly is. Yes, indeed. I have to pitch my company, Art Inspired, in 1 minute, and I still have all afternoon to memorize what I'm going to say, so not worried at all.
Well, I think today we're going to have you practice, and we're going to see where he goes with that. But Chris, you know, over the past few weeks, you've had a lot of stuff happen at KSU, and if you don't know listening to the program, KSU is the only, it is the first and only school, university in the state of Georgia with a degree in entrepreneurship. Chris, congratulations.
Yeah, no, thank you. That has been a big deal for us. Having the only degree in entrepreneurship in the state has allowed KSU to be the destination point for any person who's really serious about entrepreneurship and pursuing their dreams.
Well, Chris, you know, the university is wonderful. I've been a part of it with you for the past 2 years. And, you know, I was talking with our guests earlier, and one of our guests, Mike, kind of eyes lit up when I explained you are the first and the only school in the state of Georgia with a degree in entrepreneurship. And that's a big testament to you as well, Chris. I'll take a moment, and most listeners may not know, but you were the executive director of the Entrepreneurship Center at UGA for nearly 9 years.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes, I was. Yeah. And I, you know, at the time, that was the proudest professional accomplishment I had, was founding the entrepreneurship program there, going back to your alma mater, and getting the privilege of founding an entrepreneurship center. But I got it wrong. Because entrepreneurship, like my goal there was to create startups. I thought that's the one thing I think we can do better than any other university is we'll launch startups faster and better. And so the focus was creating startups. And what I realized with the transition to KSU is not really creating startups, but creating entrepreneurs. And there's a big difference on how we approach it, what we do. And that has been way more beneficial, transformational, and our impact has been so much more significant than I could possibly imagine.
Well, you know, I've been waiting. I think we hit the word transformational within the first 4 minutes of this show, which is perfect.
So are you counting that one?
Yeah, I'm going to count that one.
It's yes,
Pee-wee's
exactly.
Playhouse.
We yes,
have things
exactly.
Come out
that's
the
right.
It's the word of the
Every
day.
Time I say that, my students take a drink. So yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. No question.
Fun drinking game there.
I like if you're listening now, that is a drinking game. But with it in mind, and I know you're so humble, and I've known Chris for years, and I think most people in the room have, is, you know, for 9 years you used, I guess, UGA, as you said, as batting practice, but it took but less than a year and a half for you to get the degree at KSU. And that's a big testament to your experiences at UGA, as well as the University of KSU as a whole.
Yeah, KSU is a very entrepreneurial university, and they've embraced our brand of entrepreneurship really well. And what's super exciting to us now is, not only has it resonated locally with our brand of entrepreneurship, but also now other schools are reaching out to us and saying, look, we want to do what you guys have done, or we want to start doing what you're doing. and how can you help? So that's been really fun to really lead entrepreneurship, you know, it, not only here in the state, but also internationally. And that's been a lot of fun.
That's wonderful. So let's get to the nook and cranny of KSU. Is tell us how your illegal activity went about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, and Joey was there with me.
I was.
Absolutely. But we took 22 students who were involved with the Entrepreneurship Center and the class, and we did a retreat for the very first time. So Friday through Sunday, we spent time together. And for me, I have trouble thinking of something more impactful than what we accomplished that weekend. Even though physically it beat me up bad. We would live it, you know, being in a barrack style room with all of these guys. We had one for the women and one for the guys. And, you know, being the first guy awake and the last guy asleep, that was brutal for me physically. I still don't think I've recovered, but it was very, very impactful for me. So I really enjoyed it.
We saw the videos, you know, Reagan sent that out to the board members, and we saw, as you say, I'll use your word, the transformation that occurred from the beginning of the week into the end of the weekend for your students. So, you know, hats off to you. And I talked to you that Sunday when you were coming back and you were slurring your words because of the exhaustion of the weekend.
I still have not recovered. So, I got to gear up for the next one, but wow.
So, Chris, great. I'd like to also talk about, before we bring our guests in, I'd like to talk about this morning's State of the Union for the Entrepreneurship Center. You know, give us a quick rundown, but, you know, our host and our producer, and we use his studio at Business Radio X, discussed with me that there were tears brought to the eyes of people. Stone, if you may just chime in for a minute, did you have an experience of tears this morning at the center?
I most certainly did. And Chris is so humble, but you cannot help but get so emotionally engaged so quickly when Chris stands up in front of the room and describes what they're doing and why. And then lay on top of that incredible video with those young kids talking about the impact of these programs that you guys are also bringing to all the way from elementary through post-secondary. The rest of your presentation was fantastic. And in my opinion, you could have dropped the mic and told everybody to pull out the checkbooks and you'd have been funded for the next 3 years. But it is such a pleasure to be involved with what you guys are doing. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, Stone, and by the way, Stone Payton and his partner Lee obviously are on the board as well, and they donate the studio for this show to really help transform. Chris, I'm going to abuse it today. Yeah. Really help transform all of the students. Yeah. Chris, tell us a little more about this morning.
Lee and Ted have donated a lot of money to the Entrepreneurship Center, which I greatly appreciate, and it means a ton. So,
that's wonderful. Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about this morning, Chris. I was unable to attend. Give a rundown of the State of the Union. Where do we stand at the Entrepreneurship Center? What happened?
State of the Union is strong. Absolutely. It's absolutely phenomenal. The, you know, being such a young center and going through the things that we're leading entrepreneurship in, way too long of a list to sort of be concise or brief about. But a couple of the highlights was, you know, our ability to partner with universities around the world who want to start doing what we're doing and partnering with certain countries to implement certain cities there. Our ability to bring educators, as Stone mentioned, elementary, middle, and high school, and get those group of educators who are now doing what we're doing so that there's entrepreneurship programs all throughout, where an elementary school that feeds into a middle school that feeds into the same high school, all of those are aligned and those entrepreneurship programs are impacting those kids so that when we get them at the collegiate level, they are just infused with an entrepreneurial mindset. So many exciting things like that that just make me incredibly privileged. Like I feel like that there's that quote from George Washington when he took over the Continental Army and he said, you know, I'm not worthy of the command that I am honored with. And I really feel that.
It's so true. And you fit the mold perfectly. You know, the last topic that I want to discuss before we bring our guests on is the KSU 100, Chris. And if you don't know, KSU 100 launched last year. You called it an amalgamation of The Voice meets Shark Tank.
Voice meets Shark Tank. So everybody's familiar with a Shark Tank type formats. They're done quite often in a lot of settings. But our twist on it was we are surrounded by the absolute best entrepreneurs in the Southeast. So what if we were able to bring some of those rock star entrepreneurs and mentor these students, much like The Voice, where you get these rock stars helping these aspiring singers? And that has been phenomenal. Lee, I know that you have a very, very, you have an undefeated record that is on the line this competition. So, you know, tonight, Maybe. I don't know. I don't, I'm not sure.
Joey's vying for my mentorship.
Yeah.
And we're gonna see today in the show. I'll give you some bad news and good news. I was fortunate enough to mentor the winning student last year. And hopefully, as his health returns, he had a small hiccup.
Yeah.
He will be pursuing that particular business. I was also fortunate to mentor a student in Chris's class for their internal pitch competition, and she ended up winning.
Yes,
indeed. I received an email from her.
You were 2-0.
Well, I received an email from her. She's dropped the mic. She will not be participating in the KSU 100. She had a number of personal issues. So she has dropped the mic and walked away. So hopefully I'll look for a new one coming up. So information, because I am on the board of the KSU 100, we have taken the top 100 students. We have knocked them down to 50. And tonight is the 50 to 25. There will be 5 judges. There will be mentors. There will be everyone at the university tonight to take the total from 50 to 25. And one of our students today, Joey, will be pitching tonight. And later in the show, Joey, we're going to have everybody in the studio listen to your pitch and see how it sounds.
Sounds great. I'd appreciate the feedback.
Wonderful. Well, a lot of information going on at KSU. But, you know, the gentleman of the moment here, the gentleman of the hour, I wanted to bring onto our show, Pragmetrics, pardon me, Mike McCarthy, Mark Fonseca. Mark has been here before for a different business, but he is returning again. So, Mark, you get the return cup because no one has done it before. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You know, I learned a lot about your business already when we were sitting in the green room prior to the show. If you could describe what Pragmetrics, does in detail, I initially thought, hey, a business consultation firm, and you quickly corrected me. Can you run through an explanation in detail, Mike, if you don't mind?
Yeah, well, the elevator speech, I guess, for our business is that we help CEOs turn their businesses into the loyalty leaders of their industry, because loyalty leaders grow their businesses twice as fast as average competitors and at a lower cost. So what this comes down to is that the key to growing a business, really, but probably the only battleground that's left now, is differentiating the customer experience. And if you develop a customer experience to such a level that you completely set yourself apart from your competition, the dividend from that is loyalty. And loyalty, though, is defined as 3 specific behaviors. Number one, your customers will continue to buy from you. Number two, they'll buy more from you. And number three, they will recommend you to others without you even asking them to do so. So by creating loyalty, you're creating this engine for growth for your business. And so that is what we help our clients do. And it's interesting to talk about how this happened. I actually own another business where we do it. It's a small engineering services business for companies that own heavy machinery here in Atlanta. And the concept for Pragmetrics came from a client loss that I experienced in that business. And it was in solving that issue and preventing it from happening again in the future that Mark and I came up with the concept of Pragmetrics. And it was so transformational for my engineering services business.
Did you say that word for Chris's benefit?
Which word?
Transformational.
Transformational.
Okay, absolutely. I'm just making sure.
See how that catches on?
It is transformational. And so the net effect of implementing this system in my other business, we've had a 20% annual growth rate every year for the last 5 years, and we essentially do no sales and marketing. So those behaviors that I'm talking about, the thing where we have a very high customer retention rate, our customers continue to buy more from us, and without us doing any major sales and marketing efforts, they recommend us to other companies. So we continually add new clients. So having had that experience in my own business, I said to Mark, you know, I'm sure there are a whole lot of other businesses out there that could benefit from this. And so basically we developed this consulting practice. We call it a consulting practice, but really all we're doing is finding out the truth for our clients from their customers as to what it is that is of value to them, and therefore how our clients can then differentiate themselves from their competitors in creating this outstanding customer experience. And so that is essentially what we do.
So how do most of your, like when you're doing this work, where do they fall short? Like are there one or two things that you consistently see is like, wow, this is where companies are missing the mark when it comes to loyalty?
Well, it's interesting, Chris. Usually it's not, very often it's not what our clients think it's going to be. So there's a statement that was actually researched by Bain & Company which says that, you know, 80% of CEOs believe that their companies provide a superior customer experience, but only 8% of their customers agree. And so this is what we call the perception gap. And so the further you are away from the front lines of your business, the less you know about exactly what is happening and how your customers are feeling the experience. And so usually we find out that it's very often it's small things that make the difference. In the end, the difference between customers who are very satisfied versus customers who are loyal is the emotional connection that you create with your customers. So the big one of the big aha moments for me in when I researched this and figured out, you know, how to make the change was that very satisfied customers are just as likely to defect as dissatisfied customers. And that's kind of a shocking thing to think about. And if you think about it, though, it's true, because if we go into any of us go into a restaurant and we have a bad experience, we generally will just leave and not say anything. So what we're trying to do is determine if a customer is on the fence. And those are called the fence sitters. And very often, these are the people who are very satisfied with the experience they're getting. But to convert them to loyalty, you have to have the emotional connection. So very often, the things that make the difference are just how the phone is answered, or if there is going to be some kind of an issue in the service or product you're providing that you communicated ahead of time to your customer and let them know rather than surprising them. So very often the things that will turn our customers, our clients, into loyalty leaders are just small interventions in the operations of their business.
And you know, Mike, it's funny, this is Lee, and you know, when I've been fortunate enough to teach a few classes with Chris at the Entrepreneurship Center, and I always get the strangest looks from the students for a litany of reasons, probably from the attire that I'm wearing. But besides that, and that's what Mark's going to help me with, what I preach to not only my staff at my companies, as well as all of Chris's students in the full entrepreneurship program, people take for granted something as simple as common courtesy.
Absolutely.
Common courtesy could be a course that I could teach on a daily or weekly basis at the university, because common courtesy will take you so far. And that's ultimately what you're saying about the way you answer a telephone, the little pieces. And if you don't have that innately inside of you, it's really hard to wake that piece up.
Absolutely.
Well, you talked about the emotional connection that you create with customers, and I absolutely love that. But if you're a new business that provides outstanding customer experiences but hasn't had the chance to prove it to customers yet, how do you communicate that emotional connection?
Well, you actually don't have to communicate it. If you're delivering the experience every day to your customers in every touch point of your business, mm-hmm. it automatically happens. So these are the companies who, when you ask them, a great example is Costco, for example. Costco does almost no marketing, and they have built their business purely on the basis of the customer experience. So if you compare, for example, Costco to Sam's, Costco has grown at twice the rate of Sam's. And if you look at the measurement that we use to measure loyalty, the loyalty factor at Costco customers is much higher. And it's because if you ask people who shop at customers how they feel, you'll feel the emotion coming back, the passion in their voice saying, I just absolutely love shopping there. And that's what you find with whether it's a startup or a multi-billion dollar corporation, you'll hear the passion in people's voices when they talk about why they like doing business with the company.
It's a great example, Mike. I have many friends that shop at Costco, and I mentioned that a Sam's is closer to me, and they almost lose their mind that I would dare walk into a Sam's. I've seen mm-hmm. the passion behind it. So, you know, we have been talking to Mike McCarthy here at Pragmetrics, and there is another gentleman sitting in the room, his business partner, Mark Fonseca. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs like Joey and that are listening to the program, Mark and Mike, you know, in addition to the services that you provide at your company, you know, you are two very successful business owners prior to this business. How did you get in touch? What is it like working with a partner? We have further questions later down the road, or hot or not, about having partnerships. But give us a little background on both of you and how you work well together and how this came about, the ideology of your relationship.
Yeah, well, we both belong to a Vistage group. And when I walked in, Mike was sitting across the room, and something that was almost spiritual said, you know what? I'm going to be doing something with that guy one day.
Was it slow motion?
It was almost, yeah, it was almost like that, you know, wah, 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 wah.
And, but that's a porn soundtrack.
The bomb,
I wasn't
bomb,
sure.
Yeah, okay.
Wah, wah, wah. Right.
So that's where that's how we met, and we have different skill sets. So he's a very, you know, he's an engineer by design, and I'm a sales guy. So the things that, you know, I do make him want to put a gun in his mouth and vice versa. So how we met was when he had that customer defection, he was literally driving back. He just had lunch with Terry Duncan, the service manager at Volvo Rents, had lunch, asked how they were doing. He said, Mike, everything's going great. He's driving down 285. His service manager calls him up and says, hey, do you know our competitor's doing work at Volvo Rents? He says, you're crazy. I just had lunch. They said, we're doing great. Where did you hear that? He said, I didn't hear it. I'm watching it. So the guy was actually cheating on him while he was having lunch with him, right? So he was so upset for two reasons. Number one, that he had been lied to. And number two, that he was blindsided. He didn't see it coming. So he called me on the phone and was very upset. And he said, how could I avoided this? I said, well, you really couldn't, because it's human nature. Someone doesn't want to hurt your feelings. They want to give you bad news. So he goes on this journey, finds this Bain discipline called the Net Promoter System, the Net Promoter Score, reads the book in 2 days, calls me up and says, hey, I want to hire you to do something for me. And essentially what he wanted me to do was to call his top 30 clients, record the conversations, allow them to remain anonymous if they want, but get honest feedback. So he called them ahead of time and said, hey, I know I've got some weeds in my garden. To that end, I'm bringing in a guy by name Mark Fonseca. I would really love you to talk to him. Be very candid. You're not going to hurt my feelings. You can remain anonymous. We just want honest feedback. So I started making these phone calls. And what I found out when I called Terry is that what Mike didn't know, because they were their biggest account, he would send their best mechanic, but the guy was a total slob. He would leave oil dry and napkins all over the place, but Terry overlooked it because he was so good and efficient. Well, one day Terry's regional manager was in there, his boss, saw the mess that he made and said, I want you to fire that company on the spot. I don't ever want him on our property again. He was too embarrassed to tell Mike, but he told me on the phone. So when we found that out, a lot of the customers that I called that he thought were safe were actually at risk. And some of the companies he thought were at risk were actually safe. And we didn't know that till we had these recorded conversations. So that's really how we met and started our business together.
That's amazing stuff.
All right. So before I ask my question, I guess I have to sort of compelled to say this because I'm a very, very happy client of Mark's as far as his other business in which he dresses executives. And so thanks to him, I'm looking a little bit better than I did previous Shrimp Tank.
A lot better, Chris.
Podcast,
a lot better.
So I greatly appreciate his insight and ability to do that. But like, so in working together, I know there's so many debate about, you know, partnerships and that kind of thing. Since you guys did this venture together, what do you think makes a partnership work well?
Yeah, I would say number one, you have to absolutely have trust in each other's competency. It's almost like a marriage. I just really, every day, I'm so fortunate to be in business with him because of his GE background. 25 years with GE, working directly for Jack Welch. I mean, there are some clients we get on a phone call with. We worked with this $4 billion company out of Omaha, Nebraska. He got on a phone with the COO, and we are on the phone for 45 minutes, and it was really magic because he takes it to that level. And so I just think it's respecting the person that you're with, believing in them, trusting them. And there has to be a little bit of chemistry as well, because we have totally separate skill sets. And I think you almost have to generally like the person you're in business with and just respect them for what they do.
Well, I really liked the phrase that you said earlier about being a loyalty leader in your industry. And I was thinking about loyalty program cards that a lot of companies offer. And they say, yeah, we reward loyalty if you get 10% off here or there. So I don't want to preemptively get into like a hot or not question, but do you encourage loyalty program cards, or do you encourage a standard of loyalty that's equal for all customers?
Another great question, Joey, from KSU Entrepreneurship Center under Chris's tutelage.
Here's my view on that, Joey. Here's what you need. You just need to focus on the customer experience. That's it. It's amazingly, it's simple, but it's not easy. Because here's what happens. In order for you to consistently provide an outstanding customer experience, you have to create the culture in the company, and you have to have the processes and the consistency of the process within the company. So, for example, a great example would be, take Chick-fil-A. Right? Chick-fil-A is a loyalty leader, very, very high net promoter score. And I'm sure anybody who's been into Chick-fil-A knows that when you say thank you, they say my pleasure. Mm-hmm. Just imagine how difficult it is to create an environment where every employee in every branch says my pleasure consistently. Mm-hmm. That is not easy to achieve. So once you achieve, though, that level of consistency of customer experience and elevate the customer experience, you really don't need loyalty programs. You just want to go back and buy from those people. Mm-hmm. And there's so many companies that have loyalty programs that actually they're not producing the level of loyalty that you need. So some of them are just there, they're window dressing, mm-hmm. and really they're unnecessary if in fact you do create the level of customer experience that people want and that connects you emotionally with them, and they will continue to come back and recommend you.
Yeah, and you have to remember, it's all about the relationship. Mm-hmm. It really is. How many of us in this room drive by other businesses that are out there to a dry cleaner that we like or a restaurant? We drive by 10 restaurants or 10 dry cleaners or 10 jewelers or 10 clothing stores to go to the one because there's something about that we like. And it's going to be a relationship that we have there. So there's a great book in my other business called Hug Your Customer. And it's parenthetically, it's about hugging, giving somebody a hug. What does that hug mean every day? I remember one story, a guy named Jack Mitchell that was telling about, he was selling guy clothes. He went in there. This guy was going on a business trip. He was going to New York. He didn't have an overcoat and he couldn't get one in time. He was actually leaving the next day. Jack literally took his overcoat off and said, here, you can have mine and use mine for the trip. That's a hug. So those things, it's a great book because he knows his client. He knows what their children like. He knows what kind of coffee they like. He knows what kind of alcohol they like. He knows when they come into his store, he's got their customer profile. He has it ready for them. He has their coffee ready. He has he asks about their children's college. He does things, you know. So it's just little hugs that you give your client. And everybody's an individual. So I've done thousands of interviews over the last 3 years and talked to everybody from the CEO of Safeco Insurance and Duke Power all the way down to military personnel jumping out of airplanes and interviewing them and talking to them. And it's about the relationship. It's fun. Just because someone gives you a 10, why do they give you a 10? Everybody's an individual and everybody wants to be treated differently. Everybody wants to be acknowledged. And that's really where the power comes in. It's treating everybody, finding out what makes them happy, what makes them tick, and you'll have a successful business.
That's wonderful, Mark. You know, and Mark, I'm surrounded looking at their backgrounds and your education. I'm not a smart enough person to read books. I just watch Jerry Maguire. So ultimately, very similar theory about caring about the individual. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank here out of the Sandy Springs Business Radio X location. I'm your co-host, Lee Heisman, with Chris Hanks. We also have Mark Fonseca and Mike McCarthy from Pragmetrics and Joey Roos from the KSU Entrepreneurship Center. You can download any of these programs on the iTunes, or you can go to our website, shrimptankpodcast.com. Guys, in this segment, we usually run to a hot or not, but before we begin our hot or not section, I want to utilize your entrepreneurial expertise. We have a student that takes his time in the middle of the day. He is usually our consistent student. Next week, Chris, we have 4 students pitching their ideas. But Joey has been our stalwart, and Joey is going to be pitching his business tonight. He has 1 minute to pitch it in front of 5 judges. It's going from 50 to 25. And if I could please ask the studio today to listen to Joey's pitch. Now, I made Joey. Joey pitched this a while ago to me, a couple weeks ago, and he pitched his first pitch. And I said, Joey, let's go over a few items. What did you learn in Chris Hanks' class? And over the past few weeks of sitting through Chris's classes in the Entrepreneurship Center, he has refined his pitch. So I'm asking Joey to give me his first pitch. So he's going to pitch his very first pitch that he created months ago. Then you're going to grade it if it's okay, give any small input. And then you're going to listen to his second pitch. Is that fair?
Great. Yeah, great.
Joey, no pressure. You have 1 minute, and I'm going to put a clock on you because they are going to have a clock on you tonight, of course.
Sounds like a plan. Well, I know that my old pitch for sure is not going to be within the 1 minute, but we'll get started.
Do your best with it. Do your best with it. Here we go.
Here we go. My name is Joey Roos, and my company is Art Inspired. Have you ever bought something overpriced? Was it that was of low quality, but was for a good cause? At Art Inspired, we provide valuable and unique products in return for the fulfillment of supporting a worthy organization. Specifically, we offer handmade products on our website from communities of world fair trade craftsmen across the globe, and we partner with local schools to advertise these handmade products through school fundraisers. Not only do we split our product sales with the schools during the fundraising period, but we also provide a curriculum for teachers to educate students about the countries from which our goods are made. With Art Inspired, people who participate in school fundraisers get the satisfaction of knowing they're helping their school, plus the satisfaction of providing a fair living wage for skilled workers in developing nations, plus a quality handmade and unique product that can't be picked up at the mall or shipped in 2 days off Amazon. So far, we have successfully earned over $3,000 in product sales, educated more than 300 students on the cultures of Nepal, Thailand, and Peru, and have hosted 2 school fundraisers, as well as sold products in person at over 20 local events. We are an LLC with no inventory cost, and since we only purchase products from our partners abroad, when we have already received money from product transactions that are made on our website, that allows us to eliminate all inventory costs. We sell products at a 5-time markup, so when schools are partnering with us for a fundraiser, we give 50% of product sales to the school, leaving us a 50% margin. So, for example, if we buy a banana fiber scarf from Thailand for $10, we sell it for $50, give the school $25, and we keep $25, so we've made 50%. While there are many fundraisers across America, what makes us unique is our fair trade products, as well as our online purchasing process, our handling of the shipping logistics for the schools, and our commitment to educate students on social entrepreneurship as they raise money for their school. Our sales cycle is 7 weeks long due to our product's handmade quality and remote location, which allows us to partner with schools before a competition to host Christmas shopping fundraisers in September and October. Plus, our products provide the perfect gift for that perfect someone who already has everything.
Thank you, Joey. About 2 minutes. Chris would fail you just for being 2 minutes because it isn't 1 minute.
I deserve it.
Chris, I've never seen Chris write so fast and so many notes. Before Chris says anything, I'd like to ask our entrepreneurs, what was your knee-jerk reaction to his very first pitch he created months ago?
A little long.
Yeah.
I like the concept. The thing I like about it, we're in the emotion and relationship business, so it creates a lot of emotion, and it tugs at your heartstrings a little bit. I think it's very unique. I can think, when I hear you talking, it helps me think about all the things that I bought that I didn't really want to buy, but I just gave somebody money because it was raising money.
Yeah.
And I would almost just give them the money and not take the product.
Mm-hmm.
But in this, I would actually look forward to getting the product and investing that money and knowing that you're helping educate children. So there's a lot of positives.
Mm-hmm.
I just think your delivery just needs to be a little bit more concise and a little bit more emotion, tied to it.
Totally agree.
But it's interesting. So being the analytical type, the length didn't bother me at all.
Okay.
But the one thing struck me was a great story, but in the end, you know, you've got to trigger the action in somebody to actually go out and buy something.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we've learned over the years is there's really two things you need to do. One of two things you need to do to get somebody to actually buy, and you either excite them or disturb them.
Mm.
And so I'm just not sure that the level of excitement is that there is no disturbing in this story, which is fine. Right? Yeah. This is an excitement story, but have you got it to sufficient of a level that actually would trigger somebody to actually go to your website and purchase something?
Excellent point.
Okay.
I would love to hear an example of a disturbing purchase, if I may. Chris, before you give any input, let's listen to Joey's second pitch.
All right.
And you can see if something that you had written down was taken into account. Joey, you'll have 1 minute for your potentially refined pitch.
Yes.
And if they chop it apart, you only have a few hours before you have to redo
well,
it.
Well, good thing tonight. I haven't memorized it, so that'll
there
be perfect, actually. All right.
All right, guys, we'll start the clock now.
My name is Joey Roos, and my company is Art Inspired. At Art Inspired, we provide handmade products on our website from communities of world fair trade craftsmen across the globe, and we partner with local schools to advertise these handmade products through school fundraisers while teaching their students about the cultures from which our products are made. Basically, we sell handmade goods on our website and make money. Schools make money. Students learn, and craftsmen abroad earn a fair living wage. We are an LLC with no inventory cost, and we sell products at a 5-time markup. We give 50% of product sales to the school during fundraisers, leaving us a 50% margin during the fundraiser and a 300% margin on purchases made afterward. We have earned over $3,000 in product sales, educated more than 300 students while providing income for their schools, and sold products at over 20 local events. While there are many fundraisers across America, what makes us unique is our fair trade products, our online purchasing process, our handling of shipping logistics for schools, and our commitment to educate students on social entrepreneurship as they raise money. Questions?
1 minute. Precisely 1 minute. Entrepreneurs.
Okay, so what I was thinking as you were, because we are in the question business, mm-hmm. right? Without questions, there are no answers, right? What I would do if I was you, you want to create the pain by asking questions. Have you ever purchased something from a fundraiser that you really weren't crazy about? Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden they're thinking, yeah, you know what? I really have. Start out with some great questions, one or two questions that are really compelling, that draw that emotion out, that draw your audience into you, and then you give them the answer. Well, you don't have to do that anymore, because now we're giving something that actually works, that are helping people. So you're really helping people help people. You're helping the schools help people.
Do you mean
so,
like right. Jerry Maguire again?
Right. People you're helping people.
Help me help you.
Help you help me. Yeah, help yeah, me help right, you. Right, show right. me the quant, right? Uh-huh. yeah, so I think what I would ask a couple great questions
okay.
that generally reach people mm-hmm. and then come back with the answer. This is what we do to help you prevent that. And then while you're doing that, you're helping people
yeah.
type of thing.
I love it.
Chris, real quick, I know we don't want to belabor this segment, but you are his professor. What input do you have?
Well, lots. And this is an area that we spend a lot of time coaching people how to pitch in front of investors, both business owners and students. So there's always a lot. So I'll just hit a couple of high points. And what Mark was referring to is what we call when we're coaching is creating the tension, right? So you want to draw out the tension so that people, there's so much tension that somebody can't wait to find out the answer. The example is like you go to a doctor's office, he ran some tests, he's about to speak. Doesn't matter how good of a speaker he is, you are listening because there's tension in the room. He has information that you have to have for you to get to where you want to be. In the same way, I've got information that you have to have for you to get from where you are to where you want to be, so I want to create that tension. Just a couple other quick points. Your second pitch, way more graphic, and I love it. Mm-hmm. Because graphic, if I can't see it, I can't act on it. And so we have to be graphic when we pitch. So you gave more specifics. There was things that I could mentally picture that I couldn't from your first. First one was more vague. So if I can't picture it, I'm not going to act on it. And you had more signs of progress, right? We want to see momentum, right? People want to join your effort. I'm going from here to there. And so the momentum there was a lot more in the second pitch. And I guess I'll close with, there's so much to say, but I also like how the second one was a minute less. Not only did it hit the time frame, which is important, but also jazz, what separates good jazz from great jazz is the notes that they don't play, right? And as Guy Kawasaki says, you know, imagine getting paid $100 for every word you delete, right? Brevity is powerful. So I like the fact that it was more concise and more brief. And now mm-hmm. I want to ask you more questions as opposed to before. It's like, okay, you know, okay, when's it going to wrap up kind of thing? So I love that. And if you can create the goosebumps in your audience, goosebumps always sell, get them excited and get those goosebumps on those arms.
Guys, what's really all intriguing right. is listening to Mike and Mark's input. It is really neat. In just a short amount of time, I can see how you two are partners because you both view things literally at different ends of the spectrum. It's quite intriguing. Hey, we're jumping into our last segment. Chris, we're going to skip the hot or not. My favorite segment is Plead the Fifth, which you've experienced with Ted. Do you have an experience, Mark, with the pit bull in there? Okay. Chris is the nicest guy, but equal to his niceness is his aggressiveness with a Plead the Fifth. I'm going to start out. What it ultimately means, guys, you're a partnership, you're a team. That means you win together, gentlemen, you lose together. Between you, you get one Plead the Fifth. So you can plead the fifth one time if you're not comfortable answering the question. I'll start very quickly and very simply with, you know, and either of you can answer this one. What would be your biggest disappointment in your professional career thus far?
Doing what we do now. Not for me, it's not pursuing Tony Robbins more aggressively.
Interesting.
Biggest disappointment.
Biggest disappointment in your career.
Gosh.
Not going into business with me sooner.
I like that. There's the partnership right. looking well, out.
The only thing I would say is I would love to see Pragmetrics growing faster. I think we need to do a better job getting the message and the real benefits out to more people because it absolutely is a transformational approach to running a business.
Fair. Well, and your business is founded on, and I'm going to defend your growth on the outside looking in, your business is founded on loyalty. right? That's what you do for your customers. And you know the way that it is. We know the story. Someone's personality at home is pretty much their same personality in work. And the way that you run your business and what you do for your clients, you probably are amazing at maintaining your clients. You might not be amazing at getting clients. So you consider your industry is maintaining loyalty. It's not, we're going to gobble up a billion clients and we're going to teach you how to do that. So I'm going to defend your growth and say you guys are probably amazing at teaching people how to maintain that loyalty where you probably do the same thing. Growth may not be part of that. Chris, go ahead.
What company would we assume has great loyalty, but you found out does not?
Without mentioning the name.
Oh, no, that's part of the plead the fifth.
Plead the fifth. I can tell you a story of such a company without mentioning the name. You want the name. Then I plead the fifth.
Oh, Chris always gets it. Now, would you mind telling the story?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
We have done work for different companies, and one company in particular, growing very rapidly. The CEO constantly gets an award for the growth. When we spoke to the customers of that company, though, it was a very negative feedback because they were essentially trapped in the relationship. They didn't have an option really to go to another source for that particular product or service. And so that was a surprise to us because the numbers told a great story in terms of growth. Customer experience, on the other hand, was not a good story.
And the CEO was part of the problem. Mm. So we had to deliver that report with a bottle of scotch.
Oh, right. That's a wonderful story. Oh, hey, man. Guys, and it's amazing how time flies when you're having fun. We have time for one more plead the fifth, Joey, so you may knock it out of the park here.
Oh, man. We will see. I just wanted to ask, what is the worst loyalty program that you have seen a company attempt to implement?
I will just... comes to mind is probably... probably Kmart had I think it was a 96% customer satisfaction rating as they were declaring bankruptcy.
Wow. That's very hypocritical, isn't it? It's wonderful.
Yeah. Bain talks about good profits and bad profits. So things like, overcharges on your phone, baggage handling fees, right? Those are little things that make a company profitable, but they're actually irritating your customer and driving them to your competitor. But I can't think of anything off the top.
Well, the other one I would throw out, and it's not as bad a case, but the interesting thing is you'll see a lot of different customer satisfaction type of measurements. We see them on television all the time. For example, JD Power. The interesting thing about JD Power, especially in the auto industry, is there is no correlation between JD Power scores and repurchase rates of people buying the car again. So therefore, what is the real value?
Wow. Wow. We're really looking behind the curtain here, right? We're really looking behind the curtain. So gentlemen, thank you for coming on the show, of course. If people want to get in touch with your organization, what is the best contact number, website? How would they get in touch with Pragmetrics if they needed to figure out exactly if their clients are happy with them?
Yep. The simplest way is just go to our website, www.pragmetrics.com.
Pragmetrics with an X at the end.
Yes, Pragmetrix.
Excellent.
Yeah, phone number is 404-983-4121, or it's Mark or Mike at pragmetrics.com. And Pragmetrics means pragmatic metrics.
Oh, love it. Love it.
The truth will set you free.
Ending on that note, guys, thank you so much for being on the show today. Next week, we have 4 KSU students, hopefully part of the top 25, that will be coming in to pitch their ideas to the studio as a whole. We'll see if they make it to the top 12 after that. Guys, everybody listen, thank you for joining us for today's show at lunchtime. You can listen to us at shrimptankpodcast.com or download a copy on iTunes. And that was your show for this week at the Shrimp Tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.